good afternoon, or just about what they would call good evening in Cayman, because it's 1 minute past 12. And in Cayman, they say good evening as soon as it hits the afternoon. So it's a cultural nuance. Today, I am so happy to be talking to my dear friend, Danielle Coleman, otherwise known as Danny, in the Cayman Islands, in her office in the global headquarters of Cayman Islands Hazard Management, or Hazard Management Cayman Islands, of which she is the director. Danny has been at the forefront in the Cayman Islands, which, again, as a Caymanian, very happy to say, she won't say it because she's too diplomatic, but has done a way better job of controlling COVID than virtually anybody else. And before we came online, she said, I better take my party dress off the back off the back of my door because, you know, I said, so well, you're in a country where people can go out in the evening. Okay. So, and as usual, we're here just to talk about what comes next for half an hour. With an esteemed guest. So with that overly effusive introduction, over to you, Danny.
Thank you, Tom. It's great to be here. It's quite bizarre because, again, I'm seeing the stingrays behind you, and we were the stingrays only a couple of days ago here in the Cayman Islands. But, again, I know we're all in a very different stage in our COVID journey this year, so I think, obviously, here in the Cayman Islands, we're very, very lucky. We even had a couple of days off over last week, which is a nice change of scene for us because, again, it's been a pretty long year for all of us here in Cayman and for everyone globally, actually, on that note. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you want to just introduce a bit of my background or I guess we can talk a bit.
Before we talk about what comes next, you mentioned days off. Yeah. Now, my guess is you probably didn't have one for about 6 months in your job.
So I think.
Life is a hazard, but specifically the hazard that you were dealing with managing, I think the whole world is familiar with this year. So tell us a little bit. Plus, of course, you had a very active hurricane season. I don't think in my life I've gone past 26 into the Greek alphabet. Yeah. So tell us a bit about what you do and what your year has felt like.
Okay, so my year started very early with a 7.7 earthquake in January. I believe it was the 24th of January. And we had about 23 aftershocks. And some of them were pretty big aftershocks, like a 6.1 we had at one stage. And also a tsunami scare. So that was January, sort of the first hazard we faced. But since then, again, we've had some very large-scale fires. We had a dump fire that went on for about 4 days. And again, that was probably the biggest fire we've ever had here in the Cayman Islands. And then we had a dust storm. We've had COVID. We've had, as you say, several tropical storms. And the hurricane season has been very, very busy this year. We've sort of had about four that have impacted us to a certain level, some more than others. Again, we haven't had a major hurricane this year, but, you know, you have to prepare for a tropical storm almost in the same way as you prepare for a hurricane. So it has been a really, really busy year. And especially when you're talking about simultaneous hazards, you know, there's one thing having a hazard, a fire you can deal with. But when you're trying to open shelters and you've got to think about social distancing because of COVID, or you're having a tropical storm and you're opening shelters, you also have to think about all the other implications with COVID around as to what we can do. So it's been a very interesting journey. And yeah, we had a couple of days off last week, but it's been pretty full on. And I think we've got a lot of time owing to us after the year we've had. And we've got a very small staff level here. We've got about 5 members of staff here at Hazard Management. Now, I guess the difference is when we activate, like we did in March the 3rd, we activated the full National Emergency Operations Center. Now, that pulls together about 75 to 100 people to assist with the COVID response. The other issues would be more sort of a couple of agencies together, be it like fire and hazard management and police, or, you know, just the weather and ourselves and a few others. But for COVID, it was a very big response. I think one of the things we were really lucky with in the Cayman Islands, we responded very early. So we were closing schools mid-March for several months. We were, closing offices, a lot of office people working from home. The airports were closed and only limited sort of evacuation flights were coming and going. And even those people coming in had to obviously quarantine in the government quarantine facility. So, you know, our lives, I say, are largely back to normal here. But, you know, of course, travel is still a big issue. And everyone who comes into Cayman Islands still has to quarantine or self-isolate for 14 days now, which, you know, has its own challenges. But at least it's keeping the island safe from, you know, any kind of spread of COVID.
Yeah, absolutely. And as you know, my 3 sons are living in Cayman.
Yeah.
At this current time.
I saw one of them last night, actually.
Yes. Well, I won't say any more than that because some people don't want to be kept off media. But I remember the first six weeks. So I'm in London, obviously, and it's been pretty ropey here. Yeah. And they haven't even made a real attempt to get it under control at all in the UK. They were praying for the vaccine. Hopefully their prayers have been answered. So, but Cayman in the month of April was under, at a certain point in time, which typically, this is for audiences in other countries to understand, a 24/7 curfew. In addition, I think the only other country I spend time following is that has done this is the First Minister of Scotland has been doing daily press conferences throughout, and Cayman is doing daily press conferences, including you guessed it in there occasionally, but it was including the Chief Medical Officer, the Commissioner of Police, to whom all authority was vested for a period of time under the Constitution, with the full agreement of the whole populace, which is a weird thing to say to somebody in Britain where they're all about freedom. But the curfew was serious thing. I mean, it was, you know, break that and you are getting massive fines in court the next day. And it was reports on this. And, but it was really, really onerous. But then I was tracking it as, I know you would have been, but from afar, I was tracking it. And the, for a long period of time, the last symptomatic case was in the end of April.
Yeah. I mean, we've been several months. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we've been incredibly lucky. I mean, one of the things now, again, is just making sure that people who are coming in from overseas, who are self-isolating, are actually abiding by that. We've had a few issues here in that a couple of people have breached curfew, quarantine, and they've actually been, some of the fines now have gone up to $10,000 if you are seen out during that 14-day self-isolation, but also up, and 2 years in prison. So we're very, very serious about, you know, people breaching those. Because again, I think it's, you know, people have tried so hard to make sure that we're doing everything we can. As you said, you mentioned the curfews. You know, we were doing shopping, supermarkets. You could only go on your specific day with your letter of your surname. All the schools were closed down for several months and all the online learning happened again very early in April. So, you know, people have made some serious sacrifices over, and again, no distance, no family. I mean, I wasn't allowed to see my family for several months. You know, we could call them on Zoom, but being such a small island that you see them every day, you know, we've made some considerable sacrifices. And I think, again, if people who are coming in, be it wherever they're from, Cayman or elsewhere, and are breaching that, then, you know, those fines are exactly what should happen, because again, it's just not fair for those people who have, you know, gone through what they've gone through to protect the island, to protect the borders, and ensure that we know we're all in a safe place.
So in a, I want to switch into asking a few questions about leadership in a moment.
Okay.
But I noticed that in talking this through, you've very, very carefully and on several times in different ways repeated where we are now, what we're really focused on, which is the importance of quarantine. And in fact, I was just on a Cayman Islands UK call before this, and the representative for Cayman, Andre Ebanks, just got back home, as is one of his one of the staff, Melanie Ebanks. No, well, you could say no relation, but it's an Ebanks in Cayman. They both were talking about how incredibly efficient it was to actually get through the airport and get home, how strict it is, and just what that experience is. So yeah, it's being handled well as a short version, and you and many others deserve a lot of credit for it. What I wanted to ask you about is, the two things I would reference without getting into detail that I know of you is, one is, for years before you took on this role, you've been very active internationally with disaster response and the Red Cross. And so, Cayman, particularly with Hurricane Ivan, learned how to respond. We worked out those who were really good at handling disasters and crises. And the country as a whole was used to it to some degree after that. But people behave differently in crisis situations than they do in non-crisis. And then also linked into that, I have lots of short phrases, and one of them is leadership is about people, end of story. Right? It's all about how human behavior. So the second of two things to mention of what I know of my friend is that you've invested probably more commitment into personal development and understanding of yourself and communications than virtually anybody I know. So, you know, both the looking back and the looking forward pieces, what was critical in terms of leading, being part of a group, leading cross agency with what came across to the outside world, including the people of Cayman, as, you know, in Cayman, as a really joined up response, right? So what came across that? And then also looking ahead, you know, we're going to be living in, I think it's acknowledged that we're not going to suddenly be back to normal. We're going to be living in a future where, with climate change and other impact that man has had, we're going to have more pandemics. We're going to have more black swans, more very rare but massively impactful events. So what have you learned from this experience that you can take into leadership of, you say, your own team, within your family, and the broader Cayman Islands, or what can you share with us that, what wisdom can you share with us that you've learned? Or
I think you said it. I mean, again, leadership is like making sure you're working together as a team. I would never, in all my times of being different roles, expect someone to do something that I'm not willing to do myself. So I've always been the first to sort of, you know, jump in the, you know, get my hands dirty and make sure that I'm part of the actual process. I mean, going back to the Red Cross days, and that was more of a sort of, I was disaster manager at the time. But I was always in the containers cleaning with everyone else, because I don't think I'm any better than anyone else. I think it's, again, working together as a team that makes all this happen. If you have one person who is not actually on board, or either driven by ego or whatever else, and not having the same common objective, then it's very, very apparent that the team falls apart very quickly. So I think leadership is, I think I'm a massive believer of teamwork to make the dream work. You're only as weak as your, or as strong as your weakest link. And as long as you're working together, making sure that everyone is on the same wavelength and working towards that common goal, I think you can make anything happen. I'm a massive believer of positive thinking. And no matter how, you know, at times we've had been pretty tired. I mean, we did one shift early on in one of the tropical storms where we didn't sleep. It was a 24-hour shift, no sleep, and functioning. And again, that's difficult from a disaster response point of view, to be able to make decisions at 23 hours in when you've had no sleep at all. So it really does come down to who you're around, making sure you're surrounded by the right team members, and anyone who you need to bring in. I mean, we brought in a few people through the National Emergency Operations Center who don't really have a background in disaster response, but are the right people for the job and can keep their cool. They're very good at project management, for example. So when we were trying to set up the emergency field hospital, it was great because we had the people with the right skills. And again, you know, egos being left at the door, I think that's a really important thing. Mm-hmm. I said, usually for the National Emergency Operations Center, we have about 75 people in a room. Throughout COVID, we had about 5. But of course, everyone was zooming in every day. We had at least 50, 60 people zooming in each day and in their own cluster groups. But again, making sure you have the right attitude in that room with only 5 people there. And that comes down to the people you're working with. One of my favorite sayings is, you know, your day will go the same way as the corners of your mouth turn. Now, I walked in every day to the NEAC saying, great, it's going to be a beautiful day. Let's do a cheesy quote, whatever. And, you know, I had the deputy governor there. I had so many people that were on the same sort of wavelength as in positive, energetic people. And we sort of carried each other through the whole process. So I think that has really been a massive thing. You're talking about the normal or the new normal. I mean, I think having had this year, my whole focus has changed somewhat as to what my new normal will look like in future. I don't intend to go back to a lot of the stuff I was doing last year, that not work-wise, but, you know, my private life and so forth. You know, I do want to make sure that I've taken away from this year key life lessons. And some of those are things like, you know, learning to say no to people if I don't want to do something. My energy is, you know, it is what it is. I don't have unlimited amounts of energy. So focusing on things that are actually really important and more so the people that are important in your life. I think, you know, we've all learned a lot. We've all had some time, some more than others, in sort of quiet solitude this year. And I think we need to find that new normal. I mean, climate change is a great example. You know, going back to the oceans here in Cayman after not being able to dive for 6-7 months was extraordinary. We saw some incredibly beautiful fish, coral. I mean, the seas were just full of incredible sea life. Now, we haven't seen that for years. So I think, how do we now move forward to protect the environment, for example? How do we make sure that we're really looking after our culture, our community, our seas, everything that's, you know, more important now than perhaps it was last year, or that we took for granted last year? I think people really need to decide what this, you know, this new normal will look like for them.
Hmm.
Now, I think it's probably, you know, you're still kind of stuck in the middle of it. And I know I look at like California, for example, they've just gone under a significant lockdown. So Cayman's been really lucky in the last few months. We've kind of got back to normal in that other than travel, you know,
Luck had nothing to do with it.
Well, okay, so you're right. It was a lot of hard work and a lot of very early decisions made by the government to make sure that, you know, we really did. I mean, one thing I would say, though, I mean, again, we locked down the schools in March. We did all these other things to make sure that it didn't spread and the airports were closed down. So, yes, the precautions were very, very early compared to a lot of the other in other countries in the world.
Mm-hmm.
But that in itself is a risk because, again, whilst it really did work for us and we can get back to our new normal now, you know, that could have obviously did seriously impact the economy. Now, had the pandemic not been the way it was and really has impacted everyone's economy now, that we could have got a lot of criticism for that if we've been sort of crying wolf or so forth. Okay, there's no rule book for this. And I think that's been, you know, quite apparent that every country has taken a very different approach. I mean, Cayman is obviously an overseas territory. And yet at the same time, our approach to this pandemic has been very different from perhaps the UK at times with certain decisions. But we were very, very lucky stroke. We've managed to benefit off the sacrifice we made very, very early. And you're right, it's not luck. It's a lot of very hard decisions being made. And also, as you say, people abiding by those decisions and not misbehaving. But that's easier said when you've got a population of 65,000 compared to millions elsewhere in the world.
I am very tired of the countless times people around the world, when I pointed at the Cayman example, go, yeah, but it's a small island. Well, New Zealand's a small island, Taiwan, Singapore, they've all done it, right? But they're millions of people. And I think one of my key things around Cayman is for Cayman to recognize more and more that it is a world-class country, irrespective of size. And, you know, your team of five that extrapolated to 75 to 100, you also noted only five in the room at one time because of distancing, so it's all on Zoom. You did clusters. I was watching this in the press conferences and stuff like this, and you had this you collective in Cayman had this nailed very, very quickly. And I think one of the things I'm encouraging through the London office here to Cayman to think about is the UK has already formally left the EU and will be leaving it in Brexit quite shortly in the transition period and will be vulnerable. So what strengths will the UK have on a global stage? Well, what can Cayman teach the UK? Right? Instead of us all depending on the mother country all the time, how can we bravely step forward and go, actually, you know what? We're better on financial services that know your client due diligence, anti-money laundering than you, because we're the ones who've been under attack for 20 years. So we have great processes. You don't, right? I mean, bluntly, the UK has been exposed. They don't have it. And in terms of, you know, speed of response and pulling people together, there must be lots of learnings. Anyway, I'm ranting a bit. I have a little debrief tool I wanted to just take, you know, ask you to look at and see if you can give me a specific that is appropriate to give on each case. And it's around positive thinking.
Yep.
So the debrief tool that I've always used when running, say, you know, a leadership offsite or a multi-day event or a program would be, we used to call it WMD, but then we realized that it doesn't work because it would have been weapons of mass destruction. So that's not really.
I was going to say, I recognize that from human rights day.
So actually you've shifted it around the order to WDM. So what one thing that went well, one thing you could have done differently, and one thing that was missing as a learning tool. Well, different, missing.
Okay. Well, I think, again, the teamwork went incredibly well. One great example is the emergency field hospital. Now, again, that was a massive collaboration of people coming together, working together, be it health, be it ourselves, hazard management, NEAC members, whatever. And we actually recently, a couple of weeks ago, got an award from the APM UK Award for Social Project of the Year. Now, we were competing against like the Rolls Royce for some, they did a ventilator project. There was five other participants or four participants, and we received that
That's
award.
APM is what?
Association of Project Management UK.
So basically, you won an award against Rolls Royce.
An international award for the field hospital. And again, I think one of the things that the reason why we were successful in that, as they mentioned, is that, you know, small islands do have further complications when it comes to logistics. So trying to get things in, mm-hmm. in the market, you know, obviously there's a market, global shortage of a lot of these things. We had to improvise on a lot of things, you know, things like we had alerts and alerts we made internally by in Cayman with what we had. And some very interesting thoughts were made and became a reality. And again, it's a brilliant field hospital. It can hold 70 plus people on top of our other three hospitals. So I think that was a real success story. And again, I think everyone who's worked on that is incredibly proud to be part of it. And we still got it. We keep prolonging the lease just in case we do have an outbreak. Mm. But we also worked with, you know, the Family Life Hospital on that. So again, they're, you know, a church that helped let us transform the church into a field hospital. Okay, so that I think went very well. What was the second one, Tom?
Well, you know what? Give me one more that went really well.
Okay, another one that went very well. I think, you know, there's a lot of people who needed to leave the island, mm-hmm. You know, from elsewhere, from international people living in Cayman at the time. So I think the evacuations and the whole quarantine facilities went incredibly well. You know, trying to get people, you know, it's also, for example, a country who might not be so willing to get people back in, be it through visas and whatever else. There was a lot of negotiation going on. Trying to get PPE was very difficult at times because, again, everything that came through the States was often blocked in the States or wasn't allowed to leave. Yes. I wasn't allowed to leave the States. So we really had to, again, work together, the governor's office, ourselves, the whole NAOC, private-public partnerships, to make sure these things happen. And again, it wasn't seamless, but there's certainly some incredibly good teams and friendships that mm-hmm. have developed as a result of that eight months experience. And again, we deactivated about 4 months ago now. I mean, we're still working on it, obviously, but much lower scale for hazard management. But we were 104 days activated. Now, for a National Emergency Operations Center to be activated that long, that's a heck of a long time. And you're talking about weekends as well. It's not just, you don't get a day off during it. It's nonstop. So, you know, you really do have to like each other and work well together. And again, as I say, leave egos out the room, put each other first and be frank with each other also. When, you know, communication's always the key. I mean, I think any kind of breakdown in communication straight away causes difficulty and a lot of anxiety. And I think with this, we were very frank. We were very open. These daily briefings in the morning, and we had two other briefs. Well, we had the press conference, but also a policy briefing in the afternoon every day, really helped solidify those relationships, but also helped everyone to be on the same page. Mm-hmm. And I think that's so critical in any disaster response, be it this year or, you know, any other things we faced in the past, that coordination, that communication, and again, really working together to be a good team.
So I'll ask you for something that was missing, and you can be humorous or serious, but before, I've just got one thing.
I'll tell you what was missing.
One thing that was missing. But yeah, so one missing thing I see is the First Minister in Scotland, a Scottish comedian called Janie Godley, Janie, J-A-N-E-Y, Godley, G-O-D-L-E-Y, if anybody wants to look her up. She started doing voiceovers of the First Minister's press conference. And so you said it was important to be open and frank. And she used to finish them all with, "Frank, get the door!" Right? That's what her point was. But I remember at one point, a young guy came on, did a couple of spoof voiceovers.
Oh, brilliant. Chad.
If he'd just done it daily, it would have been brilliant. Because that went around the world. It was a really supportive way he did it, right? It was really cool. He was being really positive about it.
But yeah.
What was missing was we needed more Chad voiceovers all the way through, right?
I think those memes, or whatever they're called, were brilliant because every day, I mean, again, you know, it's a very serious environment that you're working in. Yeah. You don't get any sleep, really. I mean, it's been a year of very little sleep. Because of different emergencies we've been weighing up. So you really need that humor, and you really need to be getting those kind of, be it the videos or the, you know, the cartoons or whatever they are. And we were literally like cracking up each time we saw them. And we really did actually really help all of us with our own mental health. I think it was, and actually talking mental health. I mean, again, that's another positive.
Yeah.
Last year we did a lot of focus on incorporating mental health, an expert into our National Emergency Operations Center. this is way before 2020 started. But what was really helpful is, again, you know, she came in to, one, help all the first responders who are, you know, living, breathing what we're doing, but also to think of, in a mental health hat, this is what we need to do for the public. And I think that was a tremendous asset to all of us. Because I do think, I mean, the mental health for every single one in, person in the world, I think this year has been, has had, you know, mental wellness. We've had to focus on it, and we need to focus on it more. Because it's been a real, it's been a hard year for everyone, no matter what position you're in now or what position you were back in May or March. Mm-hmm. I think mental wellness is such a key point. So missing, that certainly wasn't missing, but, I think more humor. I'm a massive believer of humor and making sure we can,
yeah. It reminds me, 2020 has been like the toughest year ever to be, to go, oh, I'm director of hazard management. Oh, great.
But challenging year.
I remember 3 or 4 weeks after Hurricane Ivan, it wasn't any longer than that. The business I was running was, as you'll know from the time, was like next to the government, was about the biggest employer on the island and overall. And we just kind of getting our feet back on the ground, and we're literally standing on the second floor of a steel frame building, and came out and had a biggest earthquake we'd ever had at that point. The ones you had this year were bigger. And as the building shook like a jelly mold, I laughed out loud. I was just in the room with a colleague, and when it finished after about 30 seconds and I was standing in the doorway, door frame as you're supposed to apparently, I just went, okay, what next? Plague of locusts?
Yeah. That's kind of what we felt this year. I think it's been, you know, when you see the fire, then you see the dust storm, and you're like, okay, what is next? But I think we got to the point this year, it's like, well, we're so sort of used to being living this kind of life right now. We'll have to deal with whatever comes next, and that's kind of is what it is. It's like, I guess we're so, you know, focused on the job at hand and the emergency we've had to focus this year on. It's no longer scary now, because it's like, well, it's scary, but it's, you know, we can do it, because we know how we work together, and we know how we help each other out and what the task is, basically.
So, yeah, I'd look to, you know, like be a tough interviewer and get you to answer some questions. But actually, I would say that for me, one of the most powerful things about leadership is how people show up. And so it was almost impossible to get you to look at anything that happened that wasn't positive. Right. And this is somebody who had 104 days working in a row with enormous responsibility. And I, you know, those people who know you have a very, very tight extended family. Right. And not being able to see them for a long period of time was tough. But you know, the thing about Cayman is your extended family is in the tens of thousands, right? So
that's true.
When you're acting that way, so I think the one thing I take from this, and it's funny, it's just sometimes a flash of the bleeding obvious, right? Which is that your energy and positivity, I sometimes don't know how you do it, but you do, right? And it's so that if people watch this conversation back later on YouTube or listen to it on the podcast, they might not see your mouth turned upwards, as you say, and the smiles all the time, but they can hear it in your tone of voice. So it's an absolute pleasure and a privilege to be able to host you and witness your amazing positivity. And always one thing I would ask you and anybody else from Cayman who's done a great job this year, which is many, many people, often collaboratively with private, public sector, different things like this.
Definitely.
In an easy flowing way, which Cayman always does when it comes to it, is no false deprecation. Don't be modest. Don't be humble. Put ego at the door, but also recognize by actually saying what a great job you've done, right? That's actually in service of other people. So if there's one thing I encourage Cayman to be, is to be braver and more confident in the ability of our wonderful small country. So.
Thank you, Tom. I think, yeah, I mean, again, I think it's so much that comes down to having the right people in the right place at the right time. And this year has been full of that. And again, some really, really great people working together to make, you know, us in Cayman be where we are today. So it's all teamwork to make the dream work. Very, very good team.
And so as I now do, I'll give you the last word. What would you like to share?
I guess it's just to encourage all your listeners. I mean, we're all in different places right now, as in different spaces on our journey in COVID. And of course, some people are still under lockdown or will be coming out soon or a different tier. And I guess it's just, you know, making sure you're looking after each other and yourselves, because, you know, whilst we've all been through this, we're all going through it, it's a very, very different journey. I think there was a great quote about being, it's not the same boat we're on, we're in a different, we're in the same storm but not the same boat. And I think it's just really, really important for everyone to, you know, hang tight, keep, you know, cherish the things you have to cherish, appreciate what you can appreciate, and think about what your new normal looks like for moving forward, because hopefully we won't go back to our own old ways, and hopefully we'll make some really good changes from the lessons we've learned this year. So that's about it, but again, really great to see you as always, Tom.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. I will let you have the last word. So thank you so much, Danny. It's been a pleasure. Cheers.
Always. Take care. Thanks so much.